Okay, let's get right to it. Hour number three, glad you're along this evening. I'm Jeff Rentz, coast to coast and around the world on the internet and through all kinds of smartphone devices, iPads, you name it. What a changing world of radio it is. Back with us tonight is Reverend Ted Pike. There is movement in the American Christian community. It is very interesting. It is very gratifying to Ted and many other real Christians who are now waking up to the fact that they have been duped and deceived for far too long. And to talk to us about that is Ted Pike. Hello, Ted. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me again, Jeff.
My pleasure. This is we put something up today on the website from you, and you want to tell the folks what that is?
Well, absolutely. I am very concerned, of course, that the church has been misled literally for a century by religious leaders, religious seminaries, and Bible schools and Bible teachers who have taught basically false theology concerning Israel, that Israel can do no wrong, she's the apple of the eye, God's eye, and specifically that God has led them back to Palestine in unbelief, in rebellion, in oppression, in injustice. This, of course, is in flat contradiction to everything the Old Testament law laid down concerning Jewish occupation of Palestine as a nation. Jehovah told the Jews that if they did not exercise righteousness and justice and mercy, including to the stranger in the land, which would be the Palestinian today, God would throw them out of the land. He would never allow them to come back in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all been turned upside down by at least a century of fundamentalist Christian sympathy for Israel. I'm very gratified now that we're having thousands, literally thousands of evangelicals coming to truthtellers.org, our website. Just this last month, we had 4,500 evangelicals coming and listening to my Bible studies, giving the whole truth concerning not only true Christianity, but the realities of our duty, or lack of duty, I should say, to the state of Israel.
Very interesting. Now, define for our listeners, in your opinion, Ted, what is an evangelical? What constitutes an evangelical Christian? Who are these people? How have they been duped by their evangelical belief system?
Well, I would consider myself evangelical in the sense that I believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He came to the earth to ransom all mankind, not only the Jews, but the Gentiles, to favor and reconciliation with their Creator. But I diverge from most evangelicals today. You see, Scofield dispensationalism came onto the scene about a century and a half ago. Big time, Scofield taught that God's ethics, His rules of morality and obedience change throughout the ethics, throughout the eons of time.
Mm-hmm.
There are different dispensations, and this is what is called dispensationalism. And the laws God gave to Noah are different from the laws God gave to Moses. And similarly, we have different ethical standards after Christ came in the Age of Grace, or the New Testament Age of Grace. But specifically what Scofield said, which is so dangerous today, is he said that God's timeless requirements concerning Israel's occupation of Palestine, requiring obedience, have changed in the Age of Grace, and now they can come back in a disobedient state, and basically obedience no longer matters. Now that is rank heresy, because God's terms concerning the proper and reverent use of His holy land by a holy and a righteous people never change any more than God Himself changes, you see. So what Scofield dispensationalism did to a wide spectrum of evangelical groups, including Pentecostal, Baptist,
right,
Calvinist,
so on. Totaling over 30 million, right?
Well, more than that, closer to 70 million worldwide.
Oh, wow.
You see, you have
these
disparate groups who have their disagreements. There's the Pentecostals, which are enormous. They gather around Trinity Broadcasting Network, which has an average of about 100 million viewers at any one time of the day. And then you have the Calvinists, Southern Baptists, and so on, who are also staunch Israel First. And John Hagee is a Calvinist Pentecostal. You have all kinds of crossovers and so on. But what is so disturbing to me is that virtually all of these major evangelical groups, to some degree, give lip service to the idea that regardless of the moral apostasy and decline and atrocities and genocide of Israel in the Middle East, nevertheless, God bears with their imperfections because he has an unconditional covenant with the Jewish people, meaning the supposed lineage of Abraham, that never is altered regardless of the sin of the Jews. And God turns a blind eye and considers them the apple of his eye regardless of what happens. And that's why no matter what kind of searing bombardments and killings and absolute genocide we've seen since 1948 against the Palestinians, nothing will faze the evangelicals because they are theologically insane. They're theologically blinded and corrupted by this unholy alliance with Israel.
Ted, in this country, we have 30 to 35 million of them, approximately. That's the figure I have. How dangerous is this group under the thumb of Zionism, ultimately? And how important is this?
Not be more dangerous because, in fact, one of the most potent forms of danger of the religious right, the Israel First religious right, is its silence to criticize Israel or the Anti-Defamation League.
No, I never say anything.
When they misbehave. Mm-hmm. And there's a tremendous empowerment by their silence. And we saw powerfully, I've seen over the last 10 years, that getting the evangelicals to oppose a Jewish-inspired legislation, ADL-inspired legislation, like the federal and the state hate crimes laws, is like igniting wet wood. It won't go because they know enough about the ADL, and the ADL's website is very vocal and obvious about this, that the ADL is the mastermind of all hate crimes legislation worldwide. But they also know that the ADL has a longstanding reputation of imagining anti-Semitism and going after and persecuting and smearing any leader, any group, particularly a prominent leader or organization that in any way comes near a matter that is dear to Jewish liberalism. And certainly hate laws are very dear to the Jewish liberal community.
It has always amazed me, in working with you for as long as I have, how this body of Christians is so utterly controlled by Zionism. I mean, it really is amazing. And I guess this beginning of a migration away from it is critically important. And hopefully it'll ignite and gather a lot of momentum because, as you've said, you've moved mountains to get these people to at least stand up and say something about the First Amendment.
Yes.
And they don't do anything.
Yeah. Well, I have done a lot. Our National Prayer Network, with your help and many other talk show hosts, we have been able to bring a certain amount, a large amount, I should say, of truth about what the hate laws are doing in Canada and European countries and so on. And people like Dobson and others have been conspicuously silent. Dobson had a presence in Canada for probably 20 years before the turn of the century, and he had something like 45 stations up there, but he was silent about the abuses of hate crimes, federal hate crimes laws, provincial laws in Canada, because he didn't want to jeopardize his outreach and his ministry in Canada. And as a result of that kind of myopic blinders on your eyes that these leaders have had, seeing, hearing, and speaking no evil about Jewish hate laws, these hate laws have been able to proliferate. But I was able to come on the scene right after the rest of those 11 Christians in Philadelphia, and got on the radio big time and popularized investigation into what was going on in Canada and Sweden, Europe, and so on. And the evangelicals bought that. WorldNet Daily, Joe Fair, and so on. They bought my message. They agreed with me. But I'm still, it's a really an uphill fight still to get them to graduate to the greater reality, which is that there is an international Jewish conspiracy among God's so-called chosen people, manifested primarily through Jewish attack groups like ADL, SPLC, and the American Civil Liberties Union.
Got it. Okay, very good. Back in a minute, and we'll talk more about this. A very, very important journalist this week took the stage, so to speak, with Helen Thomas and a very few others, yours truly one of them, in speaking out against Zionism and the Zionist control of the formerly United States of America. His name is Wayne Madsen, and he made some remarkable comments in an interview given to an Iranian journalist. And I've put that quote on my website because I think it's very important. This man is not working for the Zionist organizations which own the American media. He is an independent, and he is able, therefore, to make up his own mind and speak his own truth, and he did. I thought that was well worth posting, and it is up there at rents.com. Be right back. Okay, and welcome back. Ted Pike is here to talk about the Christian Zionist issue in this country, which affects tens of millions of Christians who have been very docile under the thumb of AIPAC, the ADL, the JDL, the B'nai B'rith, the SPLC, and we could go on. There are lots of clubs for these boys and girls. Here's the statement as it appeared in an Iranian journalist's interview of Wayne Madsen. This is Wayne Madsen, the independent researcher based in Washington, D.C., really a fine writer, a very courageous man, obviously, and here's what he said. He said, the Israeli lobby owns the Congress, the media, Hollywood, Wall Street, both political parties, and the White House. This kind of talk will get people fired by this lobby, as we have seen recently with White House correspondent Helen Thomas and CNN anchor Rick Sanchez. However, many Americans are growing tired of the arrogance of the Israeli lobby and their bigoted attitudes toward anyone who challenges their influence peddling and their ridiculous insistence that Israel must be supported because of some ancient fairy tales involving some tribes who wandered the deserts of the Middle East and saw and heard non-existent things because of sunstroke, drinking bad water, and smoking local hallucinogenic plants. End quote. Wayne Madsen.
I agree pretty much with about 75% of that. What I believe, of course, is that there was nothing wrong with the revelation God gave the Hebrews under Moses. It's the Pharisees, this awful bad seed that came out of Babylon about two centuries before Christ, which Christ excoriated so violently. They are the root problem of everything that's going wrong in the Middle East today and much of the world.
Do we know where this is all going? Do you see any real major change in American evangelical Christianity that has been so grievously dominated by Zionists and Zionism?
Well, I think they are becoming much more subdued. I remember vividly the days when Jerry Falwell and Ed McAteer and the religious right were riding much higher. And it is true, there are people like Hagee and even more mildly so WorldNet Daily who are still supportive of Israel, banging the drums to a certain extent, and certainly pipelines of disinformation.
Yeah, if I might jump in, Israel is demanding now, because of the upset in the Middle East, that you and I, Ted, and those of you listening, and the rest of the country, give Israel another $20 billion for its security. Now, this is the world's third-ranking thermonuclear power, all right?
Yes.
It's a country that is run by ultra-Orthodox racists. There's no question about that now. It is also a country that is ultimately owned by the Rothschild family in the city of London in England. And they actually own their own country and their own thermonuclear arsenal when you think about it. And this is quite a lot of power for a single group to hold, but they hold it. All right, go ahead, Ted, please.
Well,
I don't think
we have to wait on the evangelicals to solve the problem of Israel and Jewish control. The evangelicals are the taillight, and really, there are many forms even of liberalism today, peace activists and so on, who are actually seeing more clearly the reality of Jewish supremacism here and the threat of a Jewish militancy in the Middle East. What's happening is, especially after the Gaza invasion several years ago and the abortive terrorist raid on the Free Gaza Flotilla, Israel is continuing. As we speak, is continuing to lose credibility among the nations and of thinking people, not only average people and intellectuals, including Jewish intellectuals, but also the heads of state. For example, just this last week, a writer in Israel, I have his name, but I don't need to give it, I guess. He wrote an article pointing out that Netanyahu had called the Chancellor of Germany, what's her name anyway?
Merkel. Merkel.
And he said, why did you vote, diverge from America and vote in the UN? Against settlements and so on. And she said to Bibi, you got to realize nobody's taking you seriously anymore. You never keep your promises. You are obviously showing yourself not in favor of peace. You've got to start making peace in tangible terms, because all of the leaders, she said, that she has talked to, in a word, are disgusted with Israel. Now, that's national leaders throughout Europe. And so what's happening here worldwide, I'm talking about students on campus, I'm talking about intellectuals and faculty, heads of faculty, Mearsheimer, Walt, and all those kinds of people, Finkelstein, etc. What we're seeing is an upheaval, a groundswell of tremors and pressure coming up from the grassroots, from academia, even from leadership of nations. It's right under the surface. I remember when the Mount St. Helens was about to blow here, which is only 20, 30 miles from us here in Portland, and the seismometers were going crazy with evidence that something was going on beneath the mountain. And finally, all of that was vindicated as it blew up, and we got in an airplane, we flew around the volcano as it was erupting, flashes of lightning inside the
engine. Did you really? That must have been amazing. Wow.
Yeah, but what I'm saying here is we are experiencing the rumblings and the occasional outbreaks of steam and ash or whatever from intellectuals and thinking people around the world, especially prominent people here, and we can talk about these various people here in a minute.
Very good. Let's do that.
Like ducks in a shooting gallery, these ducks are popping up, and the ADL is doing its very best full time to knock down the ducks, but they're coming up faster and faster than even an ADL can keep up with them.
Interesting.
In fact, just this last week,
hold on, Ted,
major Jewish website said that this has been the week of bigotry concerning Israel.
All right.
And,
stand by right there, Ted.
Of course,
hold on.
The approach of the Jews is not to say,
the
Jews have done something wrong, they have misbehaved, Israel has brought this upon herself. Oh, no. Jews are beyond criticism, beyond reproach as far as they are concerned, but that is not washing. This poor persecuted Jew line is not washing with the people of the world who have seen Goliath in the Middle East, not the poor persecuted Jew.
Correct. Well said. Stand by. We'll be back in just a couple minutes with Ted Pike. Okay. Talking to Ted Pike about issues of Christian and Zionist. I hesitate to say Jewish, but that's what Zionists hide behind, so maybe we should. The next onslaught in terms of our First Amendment, do you see it coming soon, or are they now a little concerned about their overbearing efforts to quash anybody and everybody who even remotely suggests that they might be somehow disapproving of Zionist cruelty and barbarity and all the rest of it, which is exactly what it is?
Well, it depends on which part of the world you're living in. In America, we still have the majority of our First Amendment rights. And despite the passage of the federal hate bill, I think, as I mentioned on a previous program, there still is a very great awareness, very largely a result of the WorldNet Daily's blanketing of the country with warnings against the hate crimes law and the end of legislation and so on. There's a widespread suspicion and possibility of actually throwing that law out because it's so constitutionally unfair, giving special rights and privileges to some over the majority. In Europe, it's very different. The ADL has been working hard, countries like Sweden and Germany, literally for decades, setting in place very repressive hate crimes laws. And just this last week, we see in France the arrest of the Dior designer, fashion designer, John Giuliani.
Giuliano,
yeah. So-called hate crime of ranting against Israel and Jews in a state of intoxication in a restaurant. And he's facing literally years of prison in France for the crime of anti-Semitism or criticizing Israel and matters Jewish
if he had criticized Catholics or Protestants, no problem.
Or Christians.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is how we are still paying, unfortunately, for the legacy of World War II and its aftermath, where the Zionists basically went in and took over control of much of Europe, and now they have it locked up through the Rothschilds and the European Union. So.
Yes, up in Holland, Geert Wilders is facing similar draconian hate crimes laws established again by ADL. And the story goes on and on in many cases throughout Europe, including Germany, of free-thinking, free-speaking people who have been caught in the toils of ADL hate crimes legislation, literally going back to World War II. And, of course, ADL and the Zionists came into Germany in the Nuremberg trials and afterwards, laying tremendously restrictive laws on the German people, not even to mention any possible skepticism concerning the Holocaust on penalty of certain imprisonment. So on the other hand, there are signs that this hate crimes agenda is being held back. The ADL has masterminded a 56-member nation hate crimes bureaucracy in Europe called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. They started that about 5 years ago, and they thought that they were getting excellent cooperation out of these 56 nations in bringing in hate crime statistics and in enacting hate crimes legislation and so on very obediently to ADL. But for the last several years, the ADL has been crying its eyes out, saying these people are deserting us. It now only something like 21 or 22 out of the 56 nations are even bothering to cooperate with ADL. And ADL is browbeating them, saying they must enact more laws, they must give more statistics. And there seems to be kind of a yawn coming up from these governments. What I think is really happening is that the American indignation and protest against hate crimes legislation, both in theory and its abuses, has proliferated literally throughout the world. And I have heard that these talk radio shows, such as we are on right now, blanket Russia, and a high percentage of listeners are in Russia and these countries of Central and Eastern Europe, which are part of this ADL bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think that leaders are probably, to a certain extent, getting wise to this, and with the worldwide anger at Israel, A certain amount of them, I think, are adding two and two together and realizing that the same instrument of oppression, which is at work in the Middle East, is also, through ADL, working to bring bondage to their nations and taking away their freedom of speech.
The idea of using the shop-worn, hackneyed, overused to the nth degree expression, anti-Semite or anti-Semitism, the very act of using that now, it does incite derision among most informed peoples, as it should.
Yes, it does.
It's a trick, as we know. And when we come back from the break, I'll play a clip from a former Knesset minister, actually the Minister of Education, who admits, and not even, it's not an admission, it's just a statement of fact. She said, yes, we use it as a trick. You'll hear it, Shulamit Aloni, and I've played it before, it's worth playing it again. And how in Europe, when anybody says anything critical of Israel, the activists, the Zionist organization, which is very, very complete and penetrated into all facets of European culture, leaps upon the offending party and starts hurling alleged anti-Holocaust statement accusations at them and all the rest of it. We'll hear that when we come back. It's a very fascinating and instructive piece of videotape, which I have at rents.com. It's up there permanently, right under the Wayne Madsen quote, which is very interesting as well. Back in a minute. Okay, and we're back talking to Ted Pike about very important issues which don't necessarily make much of a dent in the so-called mainstream media, but nonetheless are extremely important and will continue for years to cause a lot of consternation and discord in the country. All right, here's that piece that has got a lot of views now, and we've been really pushing it. This is former Knesset Minister of Education, Shulamit Aloni, talking about the term anti-Semite and anti-Semitic. She said, it's a trick. We always use it. And being totally honest.
And she helps expose this trick used against dissidents. The defamation tactic of calling someone anti-Semitic.
Yours is a voice of criticism we don't often hear in the United States. Often when there is dissent expressed in the United States against policies of the Israeli government, people here are called anti-Semitic. What is your response to that as an Israeli Jew?
Well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. And the organization is strong and has a lot of money, and the ties between Israel and the American Jewish establishment are very strong, and they are strong in this country. As you know, they have power, which it's okay, they are talented people and they have power, money and media and other things. And their attitude is Israel, my country, right or wrong, the identification. And they are not ready to hear criticism. And it's very easy to blame people who criticize certain acts of the Israeli government as anti-Semitic and to bring up the Holocaust and the suffering of the Jewish people. And that justifies everything we do to the Palestinians.
That doesn't get any more honest, noble,
wow,
or clearly stated than that, does it?
Yeah, it certainly doesn't. Yeah. Well, you know, I see a faint ray of hope that Foxman, who is the master smear tactician of this Jewish supremacism, may be going too far. And the Charlie Sheen episode last week is an example of that. Charlie Sheen, in a rant on internet radio, he was bad-mouthing his producer, Chuck Lorre, and then he started using his Jewish name, his original Jewish name, Chaim Levine, and ADL jumped on this, Foxman jumped on this and called it borderline anti-Semitism. But rather than doing a mea culpa like Glenn Beck had done the previous week, Charlie Sheen demanded that Foxman apologize. And evidently, this has caused him to soar in his public standing, perhaps primarily with youth. And I believe that many of our youth, especially on college campuses, are very much more savvy and aware than we might realize. They are the disciples of the age of the Internet. The media is very permeable to them. They cross over on the grapevine of the Internet, get information that would never have been provided them by the establishment media. You know, just as an aside here, I wrote an article entitled Will Foxman Apologize to Charlie Sheen?
Mm-hmm.
And a big blog, a big website, a Charlie Sheen, I guess you'd call it a fan club website, put that up. And, of course, there are literally millions of fans of Charlie Sheen, despite his aberration.
He is the world's number one entertainment personality now.
Yeah.
Above Lady Gaga, he is actually ahead of the announcement of the iPad 2 by Apple. He is the world's number one news item now, and he's done some interesting things. His show business assets who have come up to him personally and offered their support are several, among them Sean Penn and Mel Gibson. He also is now saying that the Haim Levine name was written into an episode of either his series or another series that Laurie was responsible for. So it's hardly a secret. It was an inside joke, and they worked it into the script. Ha ha. So big deal. This, again, is much ado about nothing. Sheen also, and what a litany of aberrant behavior. The poor guy is obviously not quite grounded at this point. But he said, by the way, I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
My mother's Jewish. I guess that makes me Jewish. So I don't know. But it just, the whole thing is it's quite a theater of the absurd. But he is the world's number one news item now.
Well, for him to stand up to ADL and actually be a role model to others of passing back the ADL, not the groveling like Glenn Beck did and others have done, but actually to demand an apology from Foxman, that's really quite unprecedented. And what's interesting is that Foxman is running from this issue. He's saying absolutely nothing that I know of on ADL.org about this. He has no article about that. He's not commenting it. He wants to get away from his obvious mistake of exaggerating the possibility of anti-Semitic motives on the part of Charlie Sheen. And not only that, but I point out in my article that back in 2001, there was a filmmaker in Colorado, William Quigley, who sued ADL for smearing him as anti-Semitic, and he won close to $14 million out of it. And I make the point that Charlie Sheen, if he really was mad and really wanted to do it, perhaps as a result of the loss of the last four episodes of his sitcom and possible future damage, he might make an enormous legal case
right.
with judgments asking for money far beyond what Quigley got.
Exactly. No, this is not over, not by a long shot. The latest news on Charlie is that he's now recommending Rob Lowe as his successor in the series. So it goes, whatever he says. Although it's also been reported as official that he was seen at a New York psychiatric hospital under the care of a doctor there. So, I mean, this is getting to be so crazy. You know, it just defies description.
Well, it may be that, I'm just saying this in jest, but it may be that people who are truly cautious about their reputation and so on, will not go forward into battle like a crazy man does, a fanatic, and it may be he's crazy enough to just keep fighting ADL and being outlandish.
Well, I honestly hope so, and I hope he lives to be 90 if he's going to keep on that track, because somebody's got to stand up to this really totalitarian oppression, which is what these people are all about. That's exactly what they're doing. Your way or jail.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, our way or jail. And look what happened to Ernst Zundel, a gentleman in Australia, or no, New Zealand, I believe, was just sentenced to 3 years in prison for the same kind of thing. I think it was Australia.
Yeah. Well, we have to realize that ADL, B'nai B'rith, they are the descendants of the Bolsheviks. They are interested in not only persecuting Christians, conservatives, crack capitalists. They are interested in killing them. And they are absolutely vindictive, and ADL has an agenda which it has been trying very, very hard, especially Foxman, over the last year to jumpstart persecution against the religious right, the Tea Party right, the Huttery right, whatever they can get, and tried to do that, of course, at the Tucson shooting of Gabriel Giffords. But they keep failing. They keep lacking the necessary substance in order to really go forward, and they can't quite bring themselves to activate their federal hate crimes bill like they can, because the public awareness, public suspicion, and really widespread public knowledge now that ADL is behind this and has the implicates even the Jewish community. These are all checks and balances on the enormous evil and ambition of ADL. And what you and I and many Americans are hoping and praying is that as public awareness increases, as we take opportunities and positions of advantage to attack and expose ADL, Israel, in its as a juggernaut of oppression and ambition in the Middle East, will also be hampered in its global ambitions. And I believe that if that is combined with a return to true spirituality and faith in God and humility and gratitude as a nation, and people come to truthtellers.org and start listening to our alternative to the rot that Hagee has to say and the Israel Firsters, I believe God Almighty is going to look down, and he will look with favor on a remnant of faith and obedience and kindness in this country, and we may well have a stay of execution from fated judgment.
Well, I hope so. I think your point about the ADL and so on being descendants and remnants of the Bolsheviks is absolutely correct. The Bolsheviks responsible for the deaths of 50 to 75 million people in the last century.
At least that.
Yeah. Some say over 100. We'll never know. Unbelievable. Ted, thanks for being here, and thanks for everything you do, and keep me posted, my friend.
I will. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
And thank you for being here. We'll be back tomorrow night, Thursday already. Gerald Celente will be here the first hour. Clifford Carnicom, hour number two. A tremendous breakthrough of some kind, a shocking development in his research, which involves filaments, possibly the same, in chemtrails and in Morgellons. This is a very big story. And Peter Davenport tomorrow night with an eyewitness to a big UFO sighting over Fort Bragg, California. So a full schedule tomorrow night as well. Hope to see you then. Thanks for being here. Have a great day tomorrow.